This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy New Year! The NFL league year has begun. Debo Samuel's officially a Commander. Anthony, I'm pretty sure that the Commander's PR staff schedule sent the email on Debo. They had that sucker ready to go. 4 p.m. on the dot. Oh, look what's in the inbox. Commanders acquired Debo Samuel. If you're like, what are you talking about? They did that 2 weeks ago. Remember, the NFL league year started now, 4 o'clock on Wednesday. It's official, so check your Instagram feeds, your Twitter feeds, your Blue Sky feeds, your TikToks. All the official accounts can now start posting all the things. Obviously, the players who have re-signed, like Zach Ertz, that's already been done and made official, but any new acquisition can happen now for every team across the NFL. Trades can become official, so I expect another email shortly on Laremy Tunsil. Once that trade is officially approved by the NFL's league office. But I think the Debo one was the first one through, Anthony. It seems like that one's all good to go.
It was actually scheduled for 3:59 and 59 seconds, correct?
I would be careful about that.
Nah, you're right.
Can't be caught with a tampering charge. I honestly, if I was scheduled sending that email, I'd do it at 4:01 to be safe.
That's fair.
Do you ever use schedule send on email?
Yeah.
Do you do it at like right on the dot, or do you do it at random times to make it look like you're not a psycho who schedule sends emails?
I try to do it at like a very respectable time. So if I need you to get an email at like 7:30 or 8 or in the morning, I'll probably choose like 8:30.
Yeah, no, definitely I do that. If like I'm answering emails, because I hate getting work emails, especially like 9 o'clock at night. Like if it's urgent, fine. But if not, just schedule send it for tomorrow during business hours. Uh-huh. I'm not going to begrudge you for working that time, but I don't want to work that time. So don't. And considering we all have our email on our phones now, like let's not do that. But I also, if I'm doing that, I won't be like, oh, I'm going to have it hit at 9 a.m. sharp tomorrow. Like first, you know, unless I'm like, I want you to see this as soon as you sit down at your desk, I'm proving a point. Like people actually sit down and start working at 9 a.m. on the dot, or, you know, 8 or whatever they do. But I'll be like, oh, 9:37 a.m.
Yeah.
I just don't do it random times.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, hey, look, I'm working. I also feel bad though when I get a reply, like when I schedule send an email, then I get a reply and then now I look like I'm a jerk because I emailed you and then you replied and then I can't reply or don't reply immediately.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I play myself. Anyway, that's enough email talk. Let's get to free agency. Commanders, again, they've made it official with Debo. We'll get the Laremy Tunsil one in a few moments, I presume. But there's also actual newer news, Anthony. That is the Commanders have signed Eddie Goldman. Former Florida State Seminole, played for the Bears for a long time. He's a big old honking nose tackle, dude. He's a large man, and he's also a family friend of yours.
Yes, he is a family friend, and it was actually funny because when the news broke, I called his dad to basically like confirm the reports, and he was like, "Dang, how'd you know?" Like, I just got off the phone with him. I'm just like, I mean, I think
those agents and those insiders work fast, man. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, broke the news. The Hoffman Show, courtesy of Anthony Haney, has confirmed the news. Eddie Goldman's coming to D.C. So he's had a really interesting career. Young player with the Chicago Bears, who played nose tackle on some pretty darn good defenses back in the day, including, I believe, at the tail end of like Brian Urlacher's career. He was even there. Back in 2015, graded out in the green his first 2 years on PFF. Hilariously, his second year, 78.3 coverage grade. Anthony, I don't think he was doing a whole lot of snaps in coverage.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So he played like full complement of snaps his rookie year. 517 snaps that season. Had 26 pressures, 6 sacks. It was his most productive season as a pass rusher. Got hurt the next year, but was back up in 2017, 18, 19. Pretty full seasons. Played really well. 2018, he was sensational. Graded out in the like high 80s, which is like probably one of the best grades PFF gave out that year. And specifically was a 90 on PFF against the run. Again, out of 100. So truly sensational season in 2018. 2019, he's good again. He sat out 2020, the COVID year. Came back in 21, did not play very well, and then he actually retired, and then unretired. Last year was in Atlanta, played a solid 330 snaps as a rotational piece for them. Didn't have a great season by PFF's metrics. And again, like PFF's not perfect, but it's the best we got. And now he'll come here to be a part of the rotation. Again, if he can give them that 300 to 400 snaps, like that's all they need. But he's 6'4", 332. And so what they've added between him and Kinlaw is enormous size on the inside. And I think the potential to have some of these bigger body types. Now, as we talked about with Kinlaw, he's not actually a great run player. Kinlaw has struggled at times against the run. He can get a little upright and get moved. He is really quick with his hands, so he can penetrate at times. But they definitely have some guys that can take up more space. And I think the other thing to think about here is, in a way, they're setting up to do some more stuff with odd spacing this year. And so odd spacing just simply means you have 3 down or 5 across the line of scrimmage. So, you know, if you think of your traditional 3-4 set, or, you know, sometimes they'll have the 4 down linemen and then Frankie Louvu's kind of hanging off the edge. And we can get real into the weeds on spacing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to bore you guys with those details. Some of you really care about that. And if you care, then you probably already know. And if you don't already know, you probably don't care. And the point is, like, it just gives them options. That I think this year you're going to see some packages with Newton, Payne, Kinlaw, Goldman, some combination of those 4 guys with a Frankie Louvu and some other edge player that hasn't even been brought in yet on the outside. And so they have those kinds of options to play more with those odd spacings, or I should say those odd fronts, and they can play an odd front with an even spacing, which is something he did a lot last year. And again, I'm not going to go and bother explaining all that because it doesn't really matter. The point is, this is a very versatile defense. Goldman is the kind of piece that allows them to play true odd spacing, like true traditional 3-4 with a nose tackle, if they want to do that. And I think Kinlaw could play, you know, defensive end in a true 3-4 kind of alignment, that 4-eye for the nerds, and be pretty effective there. I think that suits his body type, his skill set. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how they deploy these guys. But they have definitely added size on the front, because, you know, Newton's a little undersized. Obviously, Allen was. They let him go. Payne, I know he doesn't feel super undersized, but like he's kind of undersized for like a one technique shade defensive tackle type. Like for a one tech, he's fine. For a true shade or nose tackle, he's not as big as you want. And he's not a power player. He's a speed player. So to get these bigger body types in there, I think gives them some different options up front. Hopefully it helps their run defense tremendously. And then the biggest thing is, now can you get the pass rush juice? Newton and Payne inside should give you some, but can you get, whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence, whether they go a little younger with a guy like Azeez Ojulari, obviously still in the draft. I think there's some stuff to look at. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. And speaking of the draft, Anthony, I actually think that Rams now officially released Cooper Kupp. That just in from Adam Schefter. That was kind of the slowest breaking news of the day. We knew that was coming. But up next, you had a really good idea to take a look at kind of, you know, the remixing the draft. What happens when the Commanders are at 29 on the board now versus 2 weeks ago before they did all this stuff? We're going to dive into those possibilities next on the Hoffman Show. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. So, Anthony, I think that if I just had all day to sit on mock draft simulators, I could waste a whole day. That's what I've learned in this commercial break. Because I have three different mocks pulled up, or three different draft simulators pulled up to help us with this discussion. And every time I do this for the Commanders, I actually feel better about where they are for reasons that we'll explain in a moment. But to get back, before I get too far ahead of myself, you had a good question in our pre-show meeting. And you basically were like, how does the draft look now for Washington compared to before free agency? Because before free agency, they, or depending on when you want to start that timeline, they didn't have Debo. They certainly didn't have Laremy Tunsil. And then you have the guys that they've re-signed in Bobby and Zach, and they've lost Diami, and they've now lost Chin and Defo, but they signed Will Harris. They haven't done anything yet at corner, wide receiver. And we acknowledge that they're going to. Like, they have to sign receivers. They don't have bodies in the building right now. So they're going to sign someone. But the guys that we thought could be bona fide twos potentially for them, guys like Darius Slayton, are not here. So unless they go sign Amari Cooper, like, they're probably looking for a starting caliber receiver potentially in this draft. Or they're hoping Luke can step up or whatever. So I think on the whole, the Tunsil move is the only one that really changes anything for me. Because now you have a guy that you're relying upon as a bona fide starter at left tackle. That said, if Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State, who Logan thinks had maybe the best tape of any tackle in this draft, but might be available at 29 because he got hurt early last year in a pretty devastating knee injury. But if they feel comfortable with his medical and he falls to 29, and he is distinctly, in the way that Johnny Newton was for them, the best player at 34 last year, I think it was. If he's your best player, he's the only guy left on the board with a first round grade by the time you get to 29, I'm not taking him. And in fact, for a guy like Simmons, this becomes an even better situation where I hope that he's my Tristan Wirfs, where I take him, he starts for me at right tackle as soon as he's ready, and that means he is both healthy and better than Andrew Wiley, and Andrew Wiley is an average right tackle in the NFL, so when you're better than Andrew Wiley, you're a good tackle. Wiley's fine, he's no better, he's no worse, he's got strengths and weaknesses that are different than maybe what Simmons will be. But if he can play right tackle until Tunsil's done here, whenever that means, contract expires, they don't come to terms, he's just not good anymore, whatever the reason, and then Simmons goes over to left tackle in the future, cool. I'd still probably do that. But I do think if you get into a situation where you have someone who, you have two players of equal grades at edge, corner, receiver, O-line. O-line might have been second or third on my list after edge previously. I think now it's probably fourth. I think I would now take, if I got two players of truly equal grades, I would probably take an edge, definitely an edge, a wide receiver, and a corner over an offensive lineman, unless that lineman is distinctly the better player.
Now, I would agree. I think before the free agency moves, I think offensive line was definitely top priority for me, just because I thought we're probably going to get a defensive end in, you know, free agency, but that hasn't happened. So since that hasn't happened, we've acquired Laremy Tunsil. The offensive line priority definitely shift. I would then lean defensive end being the top priority and then corner. And to be honest, like, corner really might end up, you know, switching over defensive end depending on, you know, how the rest of the free agency goes. But I think
they have to sign. They have to figure out something at corner. We literally don't have a dude.
We have nothing.
Like, I think we were talking about having this conversation off air yesterday. It's not like they can fall back on BSJ and make all the fans mad. BSJ is also a free agent. Like, they can't even do that. So I literally don't know. I mean, ESPN.com does a pretty good job of keeping their depth chart up to date.
Yeah.
Let me see who they have, because I say that about BSJ, then they had him there the other day, but I did confirm he is a free agent. Depth chart.
I think it's also easier to find serviceable receivers than there are, like, corners kind of.
Dog, they have, according to ESPN.com, they have two dudes that I've heard of that have played corner in the NFL on the roster right now. They have Mikey and Marshawn. That's it. Because then they have their current starting left cornerback on ESPN.com is someone named Alan George. And then Bobby Price, who they signed midway through last year. Okay, so I've heard of him. He's there as well. They need an outside, unless they're going to switch Kwan's position. But I don't think they're doing that, because not like they got a bunch of safeties floating around.
Nope.
He's their starting free safety. So they got to sign corners. But yeah, so I pulled up three different mocks, because I don't think we're at the stage of the process yet where any of these are actually that good. Any of these mock draft simulators, because every time I look at it, I'm like, there's no way that guy's available. No way that guy's available. So on PFF, when Commanders are on the board in this particular version of this particular mock, they have their best player available as Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, who, by the way, would be intriguing.
Yeah.
But they also have hilarious, like, this is the guy where I'm like, this ain't happening. Colson Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, that dude's probably going top 20. There ain't no way he's available for Washington at 29. If he is, I'd probably take him. Because I think he's a first-round grade kind of guy. But also in this one, Jalen Walker, the edge out of Georgia, is available. Would definitely think about that one. Nick Skirton, the edge out of Texas A&M, maybe. Josh Connerly, the tackle out of Oregon. Like, Connerly's the kind of guy that they would have been in the market for that with Tunsil, they're not. He's the kind of offensive tackle that probably bops down for me. Ayo Manor, the receiver out of Stanford, is here. Besh, the receiver out of TCU. Trey Amos, the corner out of Ole Miss. But honestly, one of my favorite guys that's available is Landon Jackson, the edge out of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, super interested in him. By the way, in this one also, Shedeur Sanders somehow gets in the second round, as does Tyler Booker, the guard out of Alabama. Like, I don't think that's happening. But, like, Jaden Higgins is available, receiver out of Iowa State, who will probably be available, and that might be a little rich. But, like, this, if the board is like this, I'm trying to trade down, which brings us to Pro Football Network's version. The players available for Washington here. Somehow Loveland available here as well. These mock draft simulators apparently don't like him very much. Luther Burden, the receiver out of Mizzou. Don't know he's their kind of guy, but talent-wise, interesting. Hampton out of North Carolina again. Mike Green, the edge out of Marshall's available. That's a run to the podium type of situation as long as the character's good. So definitely some interesting guys there. Trey Amos again, the corner out of Iowa State. But they also have some trade offers. If Washington gives up 29 and 128 for 37 and 68 for Vegas, this is the one I would probably take. Washington has pick 29 and 128 going to Tennessee for pick 35 in their second next year. You can recoup a second round pick after you gave one up for Tunsil next year and you only move back six slots.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I would do that in a heartbeat. And then just pick 29 for Arizona's 47-82 and their second next year. Like, that's interesting to me. Then you have the mock draft simulator database, whatever the hell that .com. Their trade offers are crazy. 29 to Miami for 48-98, 231, 256, second rounder next year, and a fifth rounder next year.
29 going back to where?
To Miami. Just one pick for, like, all that. Yeah, that doesn't seem realistic.
Nah, not at all.
Minnesota also giving up four picks, including a second rounder next year. And then, yeah, those are the two trade offers. Sure, if you can do that in a heartbeat. There, now everyone's not mad at Adam Peters for giving up all them picks anymore.
Yeah.
As for players available, they've got Emmanuel Worry, the safety out of South Carolina, available. Kenneth Grant, the D lineman out of Michigan. That would be hard to pass up. Burden. Derek Harmon, D lineman out of Oregon. Hampton, again. They also have Scorton, the edge out of Texas A&M. Ravel, Maxwell Hairston, corner out of Kentucky, ran the 4-2.
That's the first corner I've heard in all of these mocks.
Azare Thomas, Landon Jackson. So there's a ton of dudes. Trey Amos again. Just a ton of dudes available. And I think the point is, like, at 29, there's going to be a good football player available at one of the positions that they want. The question is, which one, and is it more appealing to trade back? And I still think that's probably with where they're at right now. That's the other thing too, right? I think the idea of trading back was already a good one for them in this upcoming draft because of kind of the clump of players that was going to be available and what offers could be on the board. Now that becomes even more appetizing. That might be the biggest single difference, is that trade back scenario to recoup draft picks this year and next. Like, that's, I don't want to say it's a must by any stretch. The must is get the best value you can. But your value charts are a little different now as you try to replenish the draft stock.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, man. Oh my gosh.
It's going to be a fun, what are we at? March 12th? Fun, like 6 weeks here.
Yeah.
Going to be a good old time.
It's going to be stressful a little bit too, though.
Anthony, you had many bright ideas. I can't keep them all straight. What are we doing next?
After that, we were supposed to...
We put it in the rundown. Let me look at the rundown. Oh, you had another good question. Actually, we were supposed to do the draft thing next, but I just did that. One, we can take some calls at 301-230-0980. Two, you asked a really smart question about some of these trades and what you think it means in terms of how Adam Peters viewed this free agent class. We'll talk about that next here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the Free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. We'll get some calls coming up in about 10 minutes at 301-230-0980. But if you want to get in line, now's a good time. Anthony, standing by, ready to answer the phone amongst his many duties here at the Hoffman Show. But Anthony, you also asked an interesting question about Adam Peters and kind of how he's treated this offseason. I will let you ask the question, and I will do my best to answer it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of fans are expecting Adam Peters to, you know, make some moves, make some flash moves. And a lot of the moves we've made have been via trade as opposed to actually, you know, signing free agents during the legal tampering period. So my question to you is more so, since the Commanders and Adam Peters have been, you know, less active in the free agency frenzy, is it sort of an indictment on the free agent class as a whole, just because he may not be impressed with the talent pool?
Yeah. I guess I understand the desire to be like, let's go, we have all this money, let's go sign free agents. Who that has been signed elsewhere do you wish they would have signed? I'm not saying it's a list of zero, right? I would have taken Josh Sweat, especially the money that he signed, but he wanted to go play apparently with Jonathan Gannon out in Arizona. They paid him market price, almost $20 million a year. Okay. Like, they couldn't force him to go here. I get it. Other than that, like, what I've been interested in, one of the corners, like the Carlton Davises, the DJ Reeds, whichever one they thought fit best in their system. Yeah. I also know that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. have a long history of taking unheralded corners and turning them into stars. You know, Diggs, Bland, on down the list of guys that those two have worked with, not only together in Dallas, but Witt's got a long, long career with coaching DBs that have been really, really good. And frankly, so does Dan, even as a DC, even though he's more of a D-line guy coming up. Like, you know, what he did with Richard Sherman and in that system in Seattle, how they coach it up. Like, I definitely am interested, but they also spent big money or big resources, I should say, on Lattimore in the trade, right? So you kind of got to, if that's your one, like, are you going to pay two guys over $15 million a year to play corner for you? Probably not. So there are guys out there, but this free agency class in general wasn't very good. There just weren't a ton of guys. There's no quarterbacks really, like Justin Fields and Sam Darnold are the bells of the ball. And I think the biggest player acquisition that's happened is them. They traded for Tunsil. And they did it, by the way, without giving up a first rounder. So to answer your question straightly, yes. Do I think that this is an indictment of the free agent class by Adam Peters? But like, what did you want them to do? Just go spend money recklessly so they can say they spent money? They spent more than people thought they should on Javon Hargraves, and people lost their mind. Like, Kinlaw. And $15 million a year for Javon Kinlaw is, yes, if they were the only team bidding for his services, you lost the negotiation. That stinks. But they still have like $60 million in cap space, and rotational defensive tackles cost a lot of money. Look at what Milton Williams just got, and he's going to be obviously a starter, but there was another guy that just signed for $20 million too. D tackle or signed for like 18. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking about. Somebody that signed for 18.
Somebody just signed for 18. That's like a better player than Javon Kinlaw for sure, but like is probably going to play similar snap count throughout the season. So like that is an expensive position. They got a guy that has real talent that they have an idea of what they want to do with. And so you can't create options that don't exist. You can't go in and create a player, stick him in the free agent pool, and go try to sign him. And the best thing you can do if you don't like the free agent pool is say, well, who can we acquire via trade? And that's what they did. They didn't like the wide receiver class. They went and signed. They went and traded for Debo. They don't like the tackle class once Ronnie Stanley resigns. Because that's the other thing, too, is that initially they liked probably some guys. They were apparently very in on Ronnie Stanley and were going to go after him hard. And then he resigns with Baltimore the day before free agency opens. Can't do anything about that. Alaric Jackson resigns with the Rams. You can't do anything about that. So what do? I guess they say we can do something about that. We can't get guys that don't get to free agency. We can't go sign guys off other teams, but we can trade for them. And so they did. They've still got more to do for sure, but that would be my rhetorical question is, who did they not sign that you're like failure? They had to sign that guy. That guy totally changes their team. And I don't think that guy exists.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys like Hassan. I mean, I think a lot of people did definitely want AP to address edge, and maybe some of the guys in the pool were sort of kind of outpriced. You got the Hassan Reddick. He got $14 million down in Tampa. But who's to say he wanted to come here? Josh Sweat, he also got close to $20 million. Who's to say he wanted to come here? So, I mean, it's just the things didn't fall in our favor, and I think a lot of fans are just upset that we weren't able to, you know, land one of those.
Yeah, but like Hassan Reddick. Oh, you wonder who else got paid at D-tackle? John freaking Allen got $20 million. I don't want to pay John Allen $20
million. Yeah.
But he got $20 million. Why? Because he's a good enough player that's in an expensive position. I want them to address edge, too. They need to. But, you know, it might be a second wave free agency guy. It might be a role, like at this point, there's just not a top flight guy available. And whether it's an Azeez Ojulari, whether it's a DeMarcus Lawrence, whether a team that's drafting in the top 15 takes an edge, cuts one of their vets, and then Washington's like, come play for us. We think you got more left in the tank. We're going to put you in a different role. Like that kind of stuff happens too. So, you know, it's not a blind in Adam we trust. It's a, I get why they're acting the way they are, and they can't invent options that don't exist. They're at the mercy of the market, and it's also a work in progress. So, but so far, the fact that they're not blindly throwing money away at guys and just saying, screw it, we're going to get guys no matter what, is also probably the right option. Like New England had that kind of money. Washington didn't quite have that kind of money. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. And tell you what, let's take a look at what's trending because there's a couple more signings that just came through. Then we'll get to some of your calls next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980 with the chat. It's just, I don't know what y'all are doing in there. I think there's some day drinking in the chat. It's all right. I tried to answer as many questions as I could, but now we're back to the show.
Now I'm watching you answer.
We're live. I'm here talking to you. All right. Let's get to the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Mark's in Largo. What up?
Hey, what's up, Craig? How you been, buddy?
All right. You sound sleepy, Mark. You all right over there?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Normally you come in firing.
Let me ask you. Yeah. So let me ask you this. I actually agree with you. I think Adam is doing, this is not a good free agent class. And I think, and you know how you can tell this is not a good free agent class? Greg, there are a lot of contracts that are being signed no more than 3 years. You're not seeing a lot of guaranteed longer contracts longer than 3 years. Most of them, except for quarterbacks, but most of them are at max 3 years.
Well, even really Darnold was 3 years, wasn't he? 3 years for 100.
Yeah. So I think like Darnold was 3 years.
The only four-year deal I can remember seeing was Sweat. Sweat got four for something like 80.
Right. And I mean, Law, the one we signed on Monday, he's only getting a 3-year deal. So, I mean, if you think, or is it a 2-year deal with him? The guy that we signed on Monday.
Kinlaw is a 3-year, but it's two guaranteed, which is what all these 3-year deals are.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not a really great free agency class. Now, we both were disappointed because we thought Slayton would still be available come today. I didn't think the Giants were going to resign. I really didn't.
Well, they've been trying to get rid of him for like 4 years. So that is the most nonsensical thing that of all of the crazy things that have happened in this free agency period. The Giants not just re-signing Darius Slayton, but re-signing him to basically the exact same deal they would not give Saquon Barkley last year is just excellent. That one's over the top.
Well, think about this. These are the same two people that the owner came out a week after the season and said, you know, I thought about letting my coach and GM go, but I think I'm going to keep them another year.
Yep.
This is what you're going to get. You know, everyone talks about the Cowboys are a mess. The Giants have been a mess for a long time, but that's another story. I do think in the draft, though, I think, Greg, they got to get an edge rusher. Now, I think they still may bring Dante Fowler back. I think they may bring him back. And you got to get an edge rusher in the draft. And maybe you could trade, give up your first round pick and get a second round pick like you were talking about. You got to get an edge rusher. Because I think there's a chance we can get Asante Samuel if he's available come tomorrow or Friday. You could probably get him for a 1-year deal. And you could sign him and everything will be good. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I haven't watched Samuel enough. He's intriguing. I know he's 25 years old. He is kind of a playmaker in a way that's good, but he is not very physical, not a run support player very well. And then some of the man-to-man stuff is specifically like press coverage, which is, I think, what they want to get to a lot more of, which is why they brought in Marshawn Lattimore. I just don't know that he's a fit. Like, the idea of Asante Samuel Jr. is interesting. The reality of Asante Samuel Jr. might not be a good fit. But they've also had and like they're so good at finding their types of guy at corner or have been in Quinn's history that position I give them a little bit more leeway. I think you're right. The Fowler's still got to be in play here. There's a couple of other guys, but they need to find a one type of guy, and I just don't know the path to doing that right now outside of drafting one, and they have to hope the board falls their way. But as I've said a ton, Mark, and appreciate the call as always, like, you have to treat free agency like the draft doesn't exist. Your plan when you're drafting 29th can't be board's going to fall our way. Because what happens when the seven best players on your board are all not edge players? So you can either take not best player available and you know, okay, fine, that's great if you have a trade offer that moves you down seven spots. But you can't bank on that happening. You can hope, but hope is not a plan. Let's go to... Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, man, always. Listen, I don't know if the free agency market is that bad or if teams have just kind of gotten smart and don't want to overinvest in aging guys and, you know, and maybe complicating their flexibility. That could be one way. So maybe those contracts aren't being as long and committing the money. But I think, like, this fan base has kind of gotten used to the splashiness of free agency, and they want to see the big names and the contracts go. And I don't know if that's the best. Sometimes you got to let the dust settle because, like you were saying earlier, there's going to be a second wave to free agency. There's going to be a third. There's situations where teams have to release people by like June 1st or whatever have you, and then maybe there's some valuable guys then. And I don't want to cream Adam for not being that first person to jump to the market and spend all of the money. There is value in jumping in a market and investing early in this. Sometimes there's value in letting the dust settle, letting all the craziness get out of the way, and then picking up the people who have gotten humbled. Maybe like a Dante Fowler, who thinks he's worth too much, and then you see, wow, maybe not. So then you let those waves go, and then you make an investment that is sound for your team. If he went and spent all of the money, and then say like a year from now, and we're all mad that he spent all this money and we're getting nothing from those guys, because I guarantee you, based on what has happened around the league, look at what San Francisco is doing, look at what happened in Philly, what the Jaguars are doing, all the money that New England has spent, there's a lot happening in the league that's going to drastically change up Chicago, Denver, that's going to drastically change up what the AFC and the NFC is going to look like. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's just better to wait and let all that craziness go and not overspend, because we would cream him if he overspent, and then we're like, man, we spent all that money, and he's a bum now. He's not doing right.
100%.
Now he went from a cold season area to a warm season area. He's on grass now versus turf, and he's not the guy that we thought he should be, and we overspent. I mean, sometimes you got to, you know, you got to pick your battles and not go overboard early. So I think Adam Peters is doing smart and just, you know what, let me let some of this craziness die down. And then I'm going to get some guys that are, like, humbled and mad now and got a chip on their shoulder because I didn't get that big contract. Now I'm going to pick you up, come here for a year or two, prove yourself, and we'll talk about an extension down the road.
100%. And, Terrell, it goes to my theory that I have this is the smartest theory in all of sports talk radio. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. There's no such thing as good strategy. There's just good execution. Like, when it comes to team building, like, be right. That's you can trade away a bunch of picks, but if you get the right players in return, like, oh my God, you can't trade a pick. Philly traded a first rounder for AJ Brown, worked out just fine for Philly. Now other teams have made trades that are same strategy, didn't get the player part right. If you trade away multiple picks, but you get the ones that you keep right, good. If you have a million picks and you miss on all of them, that ain't gonna help you. And so, like, that is not that's not actually that. That groundbreaking in terms of analysis there. Like, hey, be good at your job as opposed to bad at it. But, like, unfortunately, there is no, like, 100% strategy way to get this done. You have to be adaptable with the market. So I like that call a lot. I appreciate it because it's 100% correct in terms of if Adam Peters was really aggressive or saved all his draft picks, didn't make the Tunsil move, didn't make the D move, why is this guy holding back? Oh, he's just going to build through the draft. Okay, well, now the players aren't good fast enough because they're draft picks and they're rookies. And like, there's no great way to do this other than whichever strategy you choose, do a good job at it. And now, is Adam walking a higher tightrope because he's got less draft picks? Sure, we can acknowledge that. But he's also walking a lower tightrope because his left tackle is Laremy Tunsil and his left guard's probably Brandon Coleman versus Brandon Coleman at left tackle and Nick Allegretti at left guard. So that's nice. This is interesting. DeMarcus Lawrence had always been seen as kind of a fallback option for the Commanders at edge. No longer an option. Signing with Seattle Seahawks. So one more edge player off the board. We'll see if the Commanders or what the Commanders do at that spot. You know they're going to sign at least one. You know they're going to sign at least one wide receiver. And we'll see kind of when that all goes down. League year has started, so when these players agree to terms, signings can happen immediately. And we'll keep you updated here on the Team 980. Coming up next, really interesting discussion that we're going to have over the next half hour with Linnell Willingham, host of Overtime over on 106.7 The Fan, here in fill-in over here on the Team 980, of course, as well. Linnell brought to my attention a podcast clip from the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast where one of the hosts, Connor Orr, along with Albert Breer, talked about whether the Commanders are making a big mistake in microwaving this offseason. We'll see what they mean, their argument, and then Linnell and I will debate whether we agree with them next on the Team 980.